groups tonight on both levels. We'll start in the NBA. Toronto on the road for the Sixers tonight. It may seem like an easy win for Dwayne Casey's bunch, but of course, the Raptors have been struggling.
We're the only ones that can pull together, stay positive, because words and the only thing you can do is play yourself through it.
All right, the Heat are still alive for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference, but time's running out. Dwayne Wade and company facing the Suns tonight at home.
We've got some more games left. Still got 20-something games left. Like I said, we got to keep fighting. You know, we got to keep trying to find a way, no matter who's in the lineup, who's out of the lineup, to try to get some wins.
All right, there are five games total in the association tonight. College hoops, tough road test tonight for Virginia. The second-ranked Cavaliers head of the Carrier Dome to battle Syracuse. Tony Bennett enjoying every second of the wild ride.
It's pretty special. Did I expect it? Probably not. Am I very thankful? Absolutely. And to be a part of it at an institution like this is what I had hoped for.
Two other games tonight featuring teams inside the top 25. Baylor on the road for Texas. Iowa State welcomes in Oklahoma. Meanwhile, according to a report, Duke's Rashid Suleiman, the subject of two sexual assault allegations prior to his dismissal from the team. Franchise tag deadline day in the NFL. The Lions will not franchise Ndamukong Suh. Kansas City's officially placed the tag on Justin Houston. Broncos with Demaryius Thomas. Cowboys with Dez Bryant. The Giants with Jason Pierre-Paul. Golf final round of the Honda Classic completed earlier today. Patty Harrington beats Daniel Berger on the second playoff hole. It's the first win for Harrington in the States since 2008. I'm Jay Berman.
Get all your sports and some laughs with us.
Gio and Jones, mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Zeiner with your community calendar brought to you by R. Feely Termite and Pest Control. Get free compost from Brazos Valley Recycling on Friday and Saturday in exchange for a donation for the Brazos Valley Food Bank. Visit BrazosValleyRecycling.com for details. The second annual kickball tournament hosted by the Brazos County Coalition Against Domestic Violence will be held March 28th. Deadline for teams to register is Saturday. Email jrodriguez@cstx.gov. Participating Northgate businesses have special red cups ready to give out and fill up with free non-alcoholic refreshments to anyone identifying themselves as a sober driver for the night from BV Casa and the Sheriff's Department. RP Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for almost 30 years. For more information, visit rplepestcontrol.com. Today, a 30% chance of rain, areas of fog, cloudy and 51. Tonight, rain chance continues, mostly cloudy and 50. Want to know when you can hear College Station High, Rutter, Bryan High, or A&M Consolidated on the Zone or the Zone HD? Visit the high school section at zone1150.com.
Ever wonder who works to protect the rights of property owners? Or who understands the issues? Texas realtors do. Issues like homeowners insurance, fair home equity laws, and protecting private property rights. Because no one knows the impact government has on real estate better than a realtor. After all, our quality of life is their business.
This message brought to you by the Texas Association of Realtors. Texas Realtors, working for you.
When you think real estate, think Texas Realtors. Texas Realtors know the neighborhoods, they know the laws, they know the industry backwards and forwards, and they know how to take care of your real estate needs. The 90,000 members of the Texas Association of Realtors also look out for your interest in the legislature, protecting your rights as a consumer and private property owner. So don't just use any real estate agent, hire a Texas Realtor.
Texas Realtors, working for you. For more information, visit TexasRealEstate.com.
Howdy, this is Royce Hickman, president of the Bryan College Station Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber, the Brazos Valley Restaurant Association, and title sponsor HEB invite you to a Taste of Aggieland, an Epicurean Extravaganza, Tuesday, March the 3rd, beginning at 5:45 p.m. at the Brazos County Expo Complex. Come sample cuisine from many local restaurants while enjoying an evening of entertainment, plus all the food and beverage from your favorite places. What a great way to spend your night. General admission, just $25. Premium tickets, only $50. Bring your appetite and bring your friends to a Taste of Aggieland, Tuesday, March the 3rd. Call 260-5200 for more details.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M Office of the President to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M's Office of the President uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
If you can't watch your favorite Aggie teams play,
listen to them on News Talk 1620 and Sports Radio 1150.
And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome to the Monday edition of Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, and we are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming this season at mscopus.org. Lots of people went out to see Jack Canada this weekend. I didn't go, but I'm sure it was great. I was at the basketball game, but lots of great stuff. Again, mscopus.org. Lots more coming this season. Season's not done. Just because Jack Hanna's done doesn't mean the season's done. Got a lot more coming your way, Cease. You can call us. You can text us, 693-1150 to call us, 229-1939 to text us. Let us know what's on your mind. What were you up to this weekend? What did you think about baseball, basketball, women's basketball, whatever? Let us know what you thought about it. Or what you think about what we're talking about. Agree, disagree, like us, hate us, whatever. Let us know, 229-1939. It's Monday, so we will be joined by Gary Blair here in a little bit. Later on, we'll be joined by Justin Seeley from the baseball team. We got that going on. But first, Cease, the big talk of the day. How are you celebrating Texas Independence Day? I assume the Cease family's got a big party planned.
Gotta go to and listen to Kevin Sullivan tell me how spring drill started today.
Well,
how's that for?
Is there anything?
That's why he decided to start. That's a great time to start spring drill.
Is there
Independence
anything
day.
More Texan than spring football? I mean, it's right up there.
Come on, I've got to laugh. You have to run a generic story about spring football starting because there's no press conference last week.
Yeah.
I couldn't get a hold of Chavis because I'm not a lawyer. So then someone wasn't there as well. But you immediately get texts. I got emails today about, hey, what about this? What about that? Football. You just throw football out there and, baby, people get excited.
Well, the thing, and we did this last year, it's the second spring that's going to be like this, and hopefully it's not like this starting next year. But we can talk and see and hope and wish and everything we want between now and the end of spring football. We're not going to see anything. No one's going to see anything.
Not a thing.
Yeah.
Not a thing, because you ain't get to go out and see practice, which is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. Because you go out there and see if the fourth string tight end might have subbed his toe doing a route with his shorts on tonight.
Well, it's one of those things where, you know,
oh, Lord.
We have to sort of, it makes it hard to write about because you have to sort of take at face value
what the coaches
what
tell
the
you.
What coaches say.
Yeah.
Or sources, even in the off the record stuff, but you still can't back up what they're saying by seeing it.
Spring training is the absolute worst.
Between now and the end of March, everyone's going to have improved so much.
There's another Jason Carter out
there's
on the horizon.
There's going to be a new generation of leaders.
There's going to be an unknown quarterback that's going to step up and go, maybe this guy, not Kyle Allen or Kyler Murray, will be the quarterback. It'll be fill in the blank.
The running backs will be better. The receivers will be faster. The defense will tackle better. It'll be everything between.
Do you ever get a little bit numb when you're listening to coaches talk, particularly when they have an opening comment after a game or whatever? I get that way. And then I realized when I was listening over the tape and I went back and looked, the other day Missouri, or I think it was Florida coach. She said, well, we didn't do this, we didn't do that, and we didn't do fill in the blank. And I'm thinking, like, she said it so calmly, I passed over it. And then I'm looking, I go, let me play that again. Yeah, she said fill in the blank.
She actually said
yeah,
fill in the
blank. You could do whatever you wanted to.
She memorized her pregame speech.
It was like one time I was reading a Navasota assistant football coach gone way back. He actually told the paper, he said, you can call me anything but stupid. I'm thinking, man, you can call that guy a lot of things.
Yeah, that's an open-ended.
You got to be careful what you say.
but we'll be there.
That's the show, fill in the blank.
Yeah. Anyway, but like I said, We'll be there.
Every day we'll be there.
Whatever happens, we'll
there could be another Cam Clear sighting.
They'll be the first.
Second.
Yeah, so that's going on this
How
week.
Did we get off on that?
Well, it's it's spring football. It's that time of year.
My wife had a great line sitting there yesterday trying to watch TV, and after a while, 2 days, you kind of get a little bit numb of all the basketball games, and she goes, "Is it only been a month since football ended?"
That is funny because it went so long this year. We were watching all kinds of stuff this weekend, and we're going to get to what the big picture stuff. But we called them out last week, so got to give them some credit. Solid crowd Saturday. There was 9,800, whatever it was, solid crowd. Not a great crowd, not a bad crowd, but right, solid crowd.
Watch some of the game on TV because I was covering a basketball / court fight or whatever. plus, and the bottom line is there's a lot of things going on Saturday. But you're right because my wife and I kept saying, well, it looks like the stands are pretty full, but it's kind of a quiet, subdued crowd. It wasn't like they came across on TV, came across that there was a good crowd there, but they really weren't making a lot of hoopla.
Well, and it was a blowout.
Hoopla because of the game.
Yeah, it was Auburn. It was Auburn. And, this is the one thing that we've been talking about
Which
lately.
Is nice for them to do that. Just go out and take care of business.
Well, that's the thing that I think the fans wanted to see. Like, if you're an NCAA tournament team, put away some of these teams. And,
just
man, they put away Auburn.
Just take care of business. Move on.
Team was just no match. It was it's been 7 years since A&M outgunned someone in conference that bad, according to the stats. I mean, that game – the thing was – it was a 25-point win, 80-55, and it could have been a lot worse. If House would have been hitting like normal and the refs weren't absolutely atrocious, this game could have gotten even worse than it was.
How many times did you say that in an SEC game if the refs weren't atrocious?
Well, okay, and me and Kroom brought this up this morning because we bring up the refs a lot, and they have been bad a lot this year. Saturday was a new low. And because I saw something...
A new low.
I didn't even think this was possible, Cease. I don't know if you saw this play, but there was a... On the same play, a double foul block charge. They called it on both of them. Now, I've been told why.
They it's called a charge and a block.
Yes, on the same play.
Probably something to do with the physicality of it.
Well, no. We've been told, or Kroom was told by the, the guy that judges the officials. I always forget that guy's name, but... He said that's a new rule change where if one official saw a block and one official saw a charge, then they both get called.
Gotcha.
But that's absurd. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But they usually get together and say what happens first.
Well, the thing is, if it's a block and a charge, then it's a block. Like, if it's one or the other, it's a block. So, and that should be the default. If either ref saw a block, it should be a block. And
unless you don't like both players.
Well, it went from what could have been a charge, and then it was a block charge, and then the guy shot the ball, but he missed it, so it goes to the possession arrow, and then A&M got it off the arrow. I mean, that is – I have never seen something so dumb in basketball as a simultaneous
– Stick around.
How does a block – a play cannot be both a block and a charge. It's one or the other, or it's neither.
I'm with you.
I was sitting there – I was going in on Twitter about this thing because I really have never seen anything like it. I mean, how is that even possible? And that was brutal. Then the first half was just awful. I mean, the pace of the game was terrible. And like I said, it helped Auburn a little bit because this game could have been a blowout a lot earlier. And House was absolutely ice cold from three. I think he missed his first like 8 or 9 attempt, maybe 7. He shot a whole bunch and missed them. But, I mean, give it to him. He kept firing away, and eventually they went in the second half. But this was... just one team completely outclassing the other one. And obviously Auburn had a lot of
thing.
Auburn had they're not very good to begin with. They've had some injury problems also. One of their better players, Antoine Mason, wasn't playing because of his father, obviously.
Sure.
So he was back home with his family. And, just the mental grind of not being very good. You're getting so close to the end of the season that these bad teams know they're almost done. And they don't really want to be there either. So it was kind of.
Don't want to get hurt.
Yeah. So all of that in mind, A&M just destroyed Auburn. I mean, it was a beatdown. But there were some positives, for A&M besides the overall performance. Jalen Jones finally got back on track a little bit. In the first half when House was bad, Jones carried it, and Caruso was good. He was like 6 of 6 or 5 of 5 or whatever he was. got off the court. Students are singing happy birthday to him. See, it was just a feel-good, one of those feel-good games. Dobbins got in, makes a shot. It was everything.
Yeah, someone's, Jeff's the office gun, all of a sudden, Dobbins scored, and I go, who? It's like, wow, it's like, is it going to make ESPN top 10? Come on.
It sort of did.
It
didn't make the top 10, but on the highlights of the game, the reaction to him scoring is on there.
Okay, there you go. Well, yeah. Like I said, it was kind of take care of business, so you just sat there and enjoy it.
Like I said, it was just another – it was a big win for A&M, not because it was one big win, but because it was the next win. And we've talked about this. They're trying to get closer and closer and closer.
And
they're getting –
come on, they're there.
They're almost there.
They're there.
That's what we're going to talk about next. Let's go ahead and go to our first break. And when we come back, I want to talk about each Friday we talk about what needs to happen for A&M. Over the weekend, we'll talk about what happened, what was good, what was bad, and then where they fit now in the NCAAs and – the SEC tournament. Things went well this weekend on that front, too, so we probably don't have to worry about that anymore, barring something really weird happening. So let's come back. We'll talk about that. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Rattlers, your hometown convenience store, is expanding all the time, and the specials are good at all Rattlers stores. For March, check out these great specials. Red Bull, 8.4-ounce cans, 2 for only $3 with your registered Rattlers rewards cards. Or 2 for $4 with your unregistered rewards card. How about Chex Mix, 3 3/4-ounce bags and Snyder pretzels and pieces, 2 for only $2. And wash down those tasty treats with a 24-pack from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors for only $19.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
Your face looks weird, too.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having a seizure or something?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately. Because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
It's time for the 15th annual Twin City Mission Golf Classic to help raise money for the programs of Twin City Mission. You can put together your own four-person scramble team, enjoy a great round of golf at Briarcrest Country Club, you'll get lunch, you'll get breakfast, a ditty bag, and there's prizes and contests throughout the day. You can grab the sign-up form online at twincitymission.org or call Ron Crozier at 229-2020. The 15th annual Twin City Mission Golf Classics on Monday, March 23rd, a 9 a.m. shotgun start. Sign up your team today.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Cornerstone Home Health, Zwirneman Flooring, The Sleep Station, and Tom Light Chevrolet. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150, and The Zone HD.
Howdy, sports fans. I'm Zach Taylor with your play-by-play game plan. NCAA hoops are on the slate for today. Coverage kicks off this evening at 5:45 right here on The Zone. Tomorrow, Aggie Baseball welcomes Dallas Baptist to town for a midweek matchup. First pitch is at 6:30 right here on the station. And our spring schedule of high school sports kicks off with College Station softball hosting Rutter at 7 on The Zone HD 95.1-3. To find out when your favorite teams are on the air next, go to the play-by-play section on zone1150.com. And that's been your play-by-play game plan. I'm Zach Taylor.
Hush, not child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Just move on.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. It's Monday. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. It's Texas Independence Day. It's spring football. It's Big Monday. It's
Oh, everything, man.
Of course.
Started to cry. It feels so good.
In honor of Texas Independence Day, ESPN is putting at 6 o'clock on ESPNU, of course, the state's premier basketball rivalry. Baylor and Texas square off tonight.
See? Okay, what's, you know,
this is
how many points are you going to give Texas?
Well,
I want to get right to it.
Get this. Vegas is favoring Texas by 3.5.
I'll take Baylor.
Yeah. Texas hasn't beaten Baylor in a while.
I think. We talked about it before. I said that so quickly. I actually said I'd take Scott Drew in a bet. Wow. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Well,
in other words, I wouldn't bet if I was in Vegas.
This is it for Texas. This is the end of the road. If they don't win this one, then they've got to win the Big 12 tournament.
You're right. This is it.
Yeah, they're down all the way. We talked about it 2 weeks ago that this was going to happen, and here they are, down to the very last.
You called it. You called so many things wrong, but you called that one. You called this one.
Texas and Baylor is a big game tonight. Obviously, if you're watching the bubble, because Texas, like I said, if they lose, they're out. If they win, then they're holding on. They're right. They're still in the mix. But overall, it was an interesting weekend for A&M because. It's kind of weird. None of the games that they wanted to really happen went really the way they would want, in the big ones anyway. There were a couple. LSU beat Ole Miss, which is a huge one.
It was.
This helps for a lot of reasons. It's too complicated to really get into it on the radio for 10 minutes because there's no real point. But by LSU beating Ole Miss, it basically all but guaranteed that A&M and LSU, as long as A&M doesn't, you know, lose to someone bad this week, as long as A&M takes care of their own business, there shouldn't be any way that they end up on the same side of the bracket as LSU, in the SEC tournament, because LSU will hold the tiebreak. They're now tied with Georgia and Ole Miss, and they hold the tiebreak there. They beat all those teams. So as long as LSU, Georgia, and Ole Miss end up tied, then LSU will be the 4, A&M will be the 3, and they're on separate sides of the bracket, which is what you want.
Yeah, but plus the fact is, I think it gets down to is, if you make a top 4 seed, you're in the semis anyway. You're in the quarters anyway. So you're only going to play, you know, 1, 2, 3 games. I mean, it's pretty academic to me.
The thing for me has been if, you know, disaster were to strike, or if a bunch of teams that are considered on the bubble make big runs in their conference tournaments, or, you know, we've seen this before where teams that are supposed to get in don't win their conference tournaments,
sure.
So then we have problems. So right now A&M's nowhere near the cut line, but if they were to slide down there, to me the best wins for them, and also just to help their seeding overall, is to not play LSU again. They would serve them much better to beat Georgia, Ole Miss, or Arkansas than to beat LSU for a third time. And then also by staying off that side of the bracket, you also don't play Kentucky till the finals. So it should be, A&M should be good to go. They can't get second unless Arkansas goes 0-2 this week. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
And they can't drop out of the top 4 unless they go 0-2 this week, which is also probably not going to happen.
So I just think they're in great shape.
Yeah.
I think this league's going to get 4 or 5 bids.
Right now they've got 6.
But I'm just saying this, A&M's in the top 4 because I like where A&M's at. Like you said, they almost have to collapse. They almost have to lose a couple, then turn around and lose in the tournament first game.
Yeah, and so that, you know, that
I
was
can't
the big
see
one.
That.
Yeah, and that helped. That Ole Miss game is what really, them LSU winning that one helped a lot. One, because, and this is what's so stupid about the way we break down stuff in March Madness, is everyone gets caught up, and I've seen national writers get caught up on this A&M had no top 50 wins. You know, they were 0-5 against the RPI top 50 or whatever it was. Well, guess what? Now they have 2 because by LSU beating Ole Miss, LSU is now in 40,
what you said was gonna happen.
44th in the RPI.
Just stick around.
So that they're going to end up okay. And the other thing, though, is that it's such an arbitrary cutoff, 50.
50. Why not 51?
Yeah, why not 60? Why not 40?
I understand. Consider how many schools there are, 300 and somewhere. Why 50?
Well, and to me, 40 would almost make more sense because pretty much everyone in the top 40 is going to get into the tournament. Not all of them. There's always a few teams whose RPI is like insanely high because their schedule.
So high 40s won't.
Yeah, and so there's some teams that are, you know, less than 40 that probably won't make it. But for the most part, everyone in the top 40 is going
to
make it.
You need to do that. You need to call the NCAA and say, you got it all worked out?
Yeah, but it's just an arbitrary cutoff. Like, A&M can't be in because they're 0-5 against the RPI top 50. Well, they're 2-5 against the top 52, but, you know, those other two ones won't matter. Anyway, long story short, and it was fine.
Yeah, they're in.
Yeah, and unless barring just some sort of epic disaster befalls them.
You used to say barring a miracle. Now I can say barring a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, and even if they lose to Florida tomorrow,
not that bad.
They'll still be in pretty good shape. Yeah. Now, of course, you don't want to lose to Florida.
You don't want to, yeah.
That's not
don't
exactly want to ideal, lose Florida. But you would still be – you'd still be okay. And that's – you know, and again, it's going to be a tough win, but that's the thing. I don't want people to panic if they lose tomorrow. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. But Florida, yeah. 5-point favorites. How about that?
But once again, I see that, but yet I would take A&M in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I just don't know if Florida.
5 points is a lot of points.
5 points is a lot of points, but Florida, I mean, how many times can you bang your head against the wall?
That's what I'm saying. I understand. I'm just saying I'd take A&M.
Yeah. So, who knows? Like I said, that went on this weekend.
Not the way I jump on that South Carolina line a few weeks ago.
No. You were all over that one. Yeah. You tried to find your bookie, and he was asleep.
Yeah, I know.
the other big bracket move this weekend, as far as the national scene is concerned, was Gonzaga going down. How about that one?
Watch the highlight. But, you know, BYU does it. You know, they have a history of that program. They're every once in a while they get that big win, but then when the tournament comes, they're usually one and done. I mean, they just
usually they lose to A&M.
Yeah, usually that's what I'm saying is they can get a big win during the season somehow, but it's I just think those 40-year-old guys get old as you know a little bit older as the season goes on.
And it was the bigger thing about it had less to do with BYU because I still don't think they can climb their way in. They'd have to.
Gonzaga was
win the West Coast Conference tournament.
Gonzaga was that. You know, it's just one of those deals. It's hard when you're that good to keep. You know, when you got
play
that
every game.
Play every game. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and because of that, now you're changing your one seeds around. Probably Villanova is probably now your fourth one instead of Gonzaga. Along with what we expect will be Duke, Virginia, and Kentucky. I have a hard time. I think those three are all but locked in. So
sure.
Which matters, depending on where you think A&M falls. If A&M's an 8-9, that means they're headed to certain places. They're already kind of locked in on where those teams are going to go. So could matter for A&M down the road, the shakeup at the top. But definitely an interesting weekend. As you mentioned, it was one of those ones where there weren't a whole, you know, nothing really stuck out as like a huge moment of the weekend, but it was just a good weekend overall. A lot of good games. You know, Kansas State beating Iowa State, huge for A&M's RPI.
It was.
It
was great.
And this is another one, though, too. The coaches poll voters have the shortest memory of anybody. Because
the
all
coaches.
Of a sudden, K-State gets a couple votes, and the coaches poll. Are you kidding me?
They're SID. Those are their SID votes. By the way, I had a laugh when I read the Post-Gazette last night. Pitt has finally given up the ghost. They are NIT bound. Every time you read Pitt, you know, kept saying, "Oh, you know, they win this game," and they, you know, whether it was Dixon or the media, I mean, they come flat out and said, "Win these next three games, they're in the tournament, they're a lock." And the third game was at Wake Forest, which is horrible, like 4-9. They lost last night. They had an 8-point lead with 8 minutes to go and lost. And then their quotes basically afterwards was like, "It's the NIT unless they win the ACC. It ain't gonna happen."
No. Tonight is, while we're just on the topic, as mentioned, Texas and Baylor is tonight. The other big one tonight, Oklahoma, Iowa State. These two played one of the more entertaining games of the season the first time they played. It was like 91-89 or some crazy score like that. The over-under in this one, and this is how big of a difference these two teams, and it makes some sense because they're both coaches have some NBA backgrounds, Kruger and Hoiberg. But
sure.
The over-under in Virginia-Syracuse tonight is 114. The over-under in Oklahoma-Iowa State, 152.5. That is getting
up and down the court.
That's 76 points per team. So if you like wide-open basketball, that'll be a fun one tonight in the Big 12. The SEC doesn't really get going until tomorrow, so we'll talk more about that tomorrow night, of course, or tomorrow afternoon with obviously A&M, but also Kentucky's last hurdle. They got Georgia tomorrow.
They got it.
I really thought, and that was the one, my parents were in town, so we did a whole, like, big day. We went over to the
cool.
baseball game, and then we had grilled outside, and
wow.
then went over to the basketball game and stuff. So I didn't get to watch much
with
basketball.
With the girlfriend?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, for everyone's friends and family, it was a whole big deal. But I didn't get to watch too many of the games Saturday, but the one that I was a little disappointed, I thought Arkansas would give Kentucky a better run than that. And they didn't. I mean, they just got run off the floor.
Didn't surprise me. Come on. It's certain, like I said, when I talk about betting on Drew, suddenly I'm not going to bet anything on Mike Anderson. I mean, that team might – I mean, they're just not – there's time games they just don't show up. You think they are and they won't. Then when you don't think they won't show up, they show up and kill somebody. Just never know.
That's, well, and it was on the road, and I didn't think they were going to – I didn't think they would win at Kentucky, but I thought it would be a decent game.
You thought they'd show –
they
just see,
got killed.
I thought Calipari had them ready. See, I'll go with Calipari on there. He knew he had a chance to make another statement.
Is anyone going to beat him? Or are they going to be the – are they going the distance?
Well, I think the pressure will really step up once they get to Sweet 16, because when everybody's going to talk about how – that's when they talk – how great is this team?
Well, to me, the hurdle is the SEC tournament.
I don't think so.
No, because you've got to try –
they've got too many fans there. They're going to win the SEC tournament. They're going to blow people out.
See, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. That's my bet.
To me, that's the last big – the last hurdle.
I think you got so many fans there because you only can send so many to the NCAA tournament. Kentucky fans are already going to have that place sold out probably.
Well,
almost.
Their first two games are in Louisville. Will be in Louisville.
But what I'm saying,
they'll
find a way.
Destroy
that's
that
why
arena.
I said it. You wait till the 16. Yeah, yeah. 16.
After that, I don't know where they would go after that one.
They got too many fans.
But yeah, like I said, it's
that's just my thoughts.
Yeah,
and they're not worth anything. Not like you. You called Texas,
but I don't know. I'm interested to see if someone in the SEC tournament could give them a run. Now, I'm not saying they're going to necessarily go all the way through the NCAA tournament. Obviously, they're the favorite. But they'll get to a point where eventually they'll play someone as good as – or close to as good as they are. Duke, one of these teams.
I'll say they'll win every game in the SEC tournament, which is only going to be three, by double digits. No one's going to stay within double digits on them.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going on record now, and you're going on record as all. I would
like to see A&M get another hack at them, just to see if it was something the A&M did or if it was just that one day type thing.
I think Calipari would like that. I think Calipari would motivate his team.
Yeah.
I think he would like that.
I think he would. And I think A&M would like it, too. I mean, obviously.
They would, but
A&M would get a swing at an SEC title, so
yeah,
who knows.
But I know who has more talent if that shows up.
You know, another thing that we were talking about, and I'm going to kind of drop this in here, then maybe we'll come back to it later, because we got to get to Gary Blair.
Sure.
We got to get out here. But me and my dad were talking about this weekend. The fan mentality towards Billy Kennedy. They are on the verge. They'll be favored this week. I mean, they're not favored against Florida, but they'll be favored by the end of the week. A&M should finish third in the SEC. And it's like fans are kind of, lukewarm, on Kennedy still. Meanwhile, and the comparison here was Kevin Sumlin, because, everyone around here is, put him on billboards. He's the greatest coach of all time. And he hasn't finished that well in the SEC. An outright third overall in the conference would be pretty impressive.
Sumlin finished fifth in the country.
Yeah, no, he did, and I get it.
I'm just saying.
And it's less about the credit for Sumlin. Obviously, Sumlin deserves all the credit.
He deserves
all the money. But
I know what you're saying.
But, yeah, it's the sort of like lukewarm.
You're right. We need to talk about that. That's a good subject.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting that fans still haven't really bought in.
They haven't bought on to, like, Pat Henry has won 8 or 9 or 15.
Well,
how many national championships
right.
has he won?
I mean, yeah, exactly. But, we were just noticing it on Saturday.
That's a good point. That's a good point. We need to talk about
that. Maybe that's something y'all can text him. Why haven't people, at this point.
If you change your thoughts on Billy Kennedy.
Yeah.
Let's ask the listeners that.
Has your opinion of Billy Kennedy changed this season?
Yeah.
That's what we want to know. Let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk to Gary Blair. Hopefully. You never know for sure. So he's... hopefully we can find him, man.
He might be playing point guard. I don't know.
Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone. Two teenagers learn the hard way to not talk about the crime in a police car. Officer Chuck Flieger says the victim in this case had agreed to sell marijuana to a female classmate.
Planned with her friends to rob the victim. When the victim arrived at her residence, he was eventually confronted by individuals, one of whom who had a pistol, threatened him and attempted to take his property from him. He indicated that he didn't have any property with him at the time, and he was told to then run.
According to the police report, approximately 2.5 hours later, 18-year-old John Eric Collier reported that his vehicle had been vandalized after he and 17-year-old Tyreek Jamal Hayes were approached by another vehicle occupied by unknown individuals who brandished a weapon, causing the two teens to flee on foot. During their statements, the reporting officer asked if the two males would like to sit in the police car to stay warm, at which time they had a conversation related to the earlier burglary captured via the in-car video. Flieger says this is an ongoing investigation and additional charges and arrests are possible. The next time you're on the Texas A&M campus, look for new sculptures in front of Rudder Theater. Adagio, created by College Station sculptor Larry Schuchler, had unveiled last night, shows the ballerina performing in front of a conductor and a boy playing the recorder. Spring football at Texas A&M gets started with competition in the courts. Newly hired defensive coordinator John Chavis and LSU have sued each other regarding whether the coach's former school is entitled to a contract buyout. Texas A&M issued a statement that there is not a dispute with the coach and that A&M disagrees LSU should be paid, but the university stands behind its commitment to pay any buyout due to LSU. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber for Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
Join us Friday and Saturday, March 6th and 7th for the 2015 Bargain Blitz benefiting the Junior League of Bryan College Station. Bargain Blitz will open with a preview party Friday night where shoppers will enjoy a pizza dinner, DJ, and a first chance at a huge variety of treasures, including clothes, toys, tools, books, furniture, appliances, and much, much more. Admission to preview night is $6 for adults and $3 for the kids. Doors will reopen Saturday morning. Admission is just $1 and free for kids 12 and under. See you out at the Expo, our new Bargain Blitz location.
Rattlers, your hometown convenience store, is expanding all the time, and the specials are good at all Rattlers stores. For March, check out these great specials. Red Bull 8.4-ounce cans, 2 for only $3 with your registered Rattlers rewards cards, or 2 for $4 with your unregistered rewards card. How about Chex Mix, 3 3/4-ounce bags, and Snyder pretzels and pieces, 2 for only $2. And wash down those tasty treats with a 24-pack from the fine families of beer from Bud, Miller, and Coors for only $19.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
As the old saying goes, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. At Intercon, we have a full toolbox to meet your window needs. Perhaps your home is ready for a full retrofit to vinyl windows. This full replacement option beautifies your home while improving thermal efficiency, noise reduction, and dust penetration. On the other hand, your existing windows may just need some maintenance. The glass in your existing windows may be replaced, in many cases, upgraded to more efficient options. The mechanism in your windows can be replaced to allow the window to operate more smoothly. Maybe you just need solar screens on some windows to eliminate hot spots in your home that tax the air conditioning system and make some rooms unlivable. With the breadth and depth of Intercon's knowledge and product offering, we can find the solution that meets your needs and budgetary constraints. Trust your friends at Intercon to understand your needs and use the best tool for the job.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
This is Aggieland's home for sports.
Not to be denied!
Sports Radio. 1150 The Zone.
Yeah!
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Been talking college hoops. We'll keep doing it. It's kind of what we do the whole first hour on Mondays, catch everybody up on all the action from the weekend. To help us do that, we are joined now by A&M women's coach Gary Blair. Coach, how are we doing today?
I've had better days, but the sky came up this morning. Time to get to work. Time to get better. New season starts on Thursday afternoon at 2:30.
That in mind, Gary, after you've got the tape of your first game without Jordan Jones, what do you tweak or do you tweak anything at point guard and going from forward?
Well, we had to tweak it some in the second half against LSU. We were not running the press breaker like we should. That's point guard's job to run it. Other kids were turning it over, but it's still the responsibility of the point guard and the head coach. And we were not doing a good job of it, so I moved Sewell and Seawall to play a lot of point in the second because the game had got out of hand in the first, and I didn't want to destroy the confidence of Curtis in the second half and let her get by with her four turnovers, whatever she had, and then let the others wear it because they've handled that responsibility all along in Walker and Williams. And because we're going to have to do it by committee some if it's not working with Curtis. And so when we ran our double high post series, I thought we were pretty effective on that, gotten the looks that we wanted inside, got into Hillsman, and I think we could be effective with it. We have to simplify what we're doing on offense. It's taken us too long to start our offense after we break the press, and we're going to work on that today in practice and hopefully get better.
I have to agree with you. Just watching the game on TV, it's hard to say when you're not there, but when Walker and Williams had to go out there because Curtis was also in foul trouble, when you did run your plays, got great success, as you mentioned, 57% from the field, which is unheard of when you're losing by double digits, but the turnovers, and then Williams and Walker are three-year veterans, but they combined for 13 turnovers. Is that because they felt the added responsibility or just not used to running the point?
Well, they felt the responsibility. Some of it wasn't even at the point position. Some of it was on the press. Some of it just trying to do too much. Scott came in and made three turnovers, and every one of them was unforced, dribbling off her knee, different things like that. So we're going to have more turnovers now, and we're going to have less assists, but we can't have a point guard play 23, 24 minutes and zero assists and zero rebounds and zero free throw attempts. Okay, that's where what we got to do is she's a scoring point guard more than a facilitator like Jones. We got to have her scoring, but at the same time, she's still got to run the offense. The offense, like you said, shot 57%, 50% from the three, 81% from the line. You win games. You win the rebounding battle by three, but it all depends on they shot 22 more shots than us, and that's because of turnovers and their 12 offensive rebounds that they were scoring on.
How do you, figure in the factor in that LSU had to win that game? They probably, if they lose that game, they might not make the NCAA tournament. We don't know if they're still, we don't know how that's going to go, but they had to win that game to make the NCAA tournament. It was senior night day. You were walking into a perfect situation where things were just about as bad as they could be for you facing that situation.
I think it was very similar to Kentucky beating South Carolina. South Carolina was coming off of a couple of losses, and same way with LSU. LSU had 9 conference wins going into the game, but they had some bad losses, and the NCAA doesn't care on a suspension. They do care on an injury if your best player is not out. If it's a suspension, that's your job to deal with, and that's what happened to LSU early on. And so I think they had to win the game to get into the NCAA tournament or run the table to get there, because their RPI is in the 60s, and that's not very good.
You're always a half-full guy, Gary. You always look at the positive. How do you go ahead and translate that to your players after such a tough time week when you've lost 2 games?
Okay. We shouldn't have lost Missouri. It's over. It's done. We've gotten beat 3 times on the road by LSU, South Carolina, and Tennessee, all on the road, and each time the other team had their A game, A-plus game. And obviously, this is the worst we played out of those 3 games, because we thought we were going to win this ball game. We were hoping to win South Carolina and Tennessee, but we expected to win this game no matter if Jordan was there or not, because how we handled them in the second half at our place and them coming off 2 losses and were playing a little lethargic. Now, technically, the 5 seed or the 6 seed would have been fine with us. We need to play a game and get our confidence back before we face an LSU for the second time. If we would have lost the game or won the game, I wanted another ball game to be able to match up. So it's better that we get right back on that horse and go play Auburn or Florida. Auburn has won 3 in a row. They were 0-13, now won 3 in a row. And Florida is up and down like a yo-yo. But I'm ready to play. But what we've got to do is out there on that practice court, correct some of our problems. Press breaker is taking too long. We're doing a lousy job on pick and roll defense. We're doing a lousy job on offensive boards. And we're turning the ball over too many times in the last three games. I think it was 16, 18, and now 24. We were second in the league in fewest turnovers. And now three games in a row, and one of those games were with Jordan. That's too many turnovers.
You're also a big picture guy. You always state to us what you feel's available going into where you're at, going into the SEC tournament, and what you can move up or move down, because the good thing is you know you go in the NCAA tournament. I see where Charlie Cream has you a sixth seed right now. Do you feel that's where you're at? Do you feel you're higher? Do you feel you can go higher? What's at stake?
I think they penalized us because of Jordan's injury and because we lost the game to Missouri that we probably should have won, but you see how it's built Missouri up. That all of a sudden they've won two in a row, just beat Arkansas very easy up there yesterday. Actually, if you notice, if we're the sixth seed and Louisville is the three, we're hosting.
Saw that.
Only because Louisville will be the only team in the top 16 that cannot host. And so, in one way, you say that'd be tremendous for our fan base. We're here at home, and hopefully we can get on a roll at home. But remember, that's Charlie Cream. That's not the NCAA
committee. That's just one person, correct.
And I guarantee you, if I'm the NCAA committee, I don't want to make Joe Lunardi or Charlie Cream smarter than my committee that I'm on. Okay?
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. So they will tweak it up however they want for geographical sakes. You're a procedural bump. We could technically still be a five seed, but if they needed to move us to the six to make it work, they're allowed to move you one line seed. And I'll take my chances at home. So, but what I want to do is I want to play my way back out of that six seed, back into a four seed, and do it on our own merit at the SEC tournament.
And, of course, I'm sure a carrot for you has to be, if you take care of business Thursday, you're going to get that rematch with LSU. I would imagine today's practice you might mention that a couple times.
It will get through. It will get through. I'm sitting here right in my office with my feet propped up. My kids have already started practice down there, and I'm looking at that national championship banner right through the window right here. And I'm looking at all the Sweet 16s, Elite Eight, Conference Championship in 2013. Hey, we've got a lot to play for, but so do the other teams in the league. You know, Baylor's coming in after two straight losses.
Mm-hmm.
Duke got beat at Georgia Tech. Stanford just loses to Oregon, of all people.
I watched that game.
Knocked them into a five seed.
Yep.
All over the country, there's so much parity going on. South Carolina loses, sellout crowd at Kentucky. That's what a home court can do for you. Okay? And it's basketball. There's not a guarantee. I mean, as good as Kentucky's men are, they might not win that SEC championship. And so every time you think on who's supposed to win, it doesn't happen all the time. By the way, I was one of the few that did pick New England in the Super Bowl. Thank you.
There you go. There you go.
Well, there we go. Coach, should be an interesting week at the SEC tournament. I know that we'll be following it because y'all are bumping us off the air on Thursday. We won't have a show because instead of listening to us, people will be watching you, Coach. Should be a fun week.
Well, look, while I got you on the air here, Cease, would you like to be my guest on my radio show tonight at 6 o'clock from about 6:30 to 6:40? I'll put you on the spot on live radio.
Gary, I would love to, but there's this thing called spring football, and Sumlin talks to us at 6:30.
You're exactly right.
I wear many hats, so I got to be at football.
Look, ask Chavis what we need to do with our defense, and
there
I'll
you
get
go.
Word to Starkey, and we'll get it solved, and ask Sumlin and Jake to help me with my offense, and we'll get that done too.
Appreciate it, Gary.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Gary still has that half-full approach. He's always thinking about laughing and moving forward. But I'll admit, they're behind the eight ball. This is a tough situation. And, of course, Aggies have always been that's part of the Aggie spirit, I know, living here long enough. But they're fighting it right now because people are going to come after them without Jordan Jones. And what you alluded to about the home courts, and he is right about we quote Lenardi, like you said, and you don't do as much because you do the brackets. And then in the women's game, really the only guy that does a lot
only game in town.
Only game in town is Cream. And what's funny about that is he brings up a good point because when you're talking in committees, it changes in those committees. And one thing the committee wants to do is Louisville women are in a bad situation because they can't host. They've earned the right to host,
but they can't
because the men are using the facility for the NCAA men's tournament.
Because they
changed the tournaments this year because they go a lot closer than they used to.
Okay.
One of them starting a day earlier, one starting either a day early or one of them starting a day late to make them overlap. So you can't have men and women playing at the same site. So women wakes out, so Louisville can't. But the committee will want to send Louisville somewhere because there's been upsets before where a higher seed, this is the first time they've done this way, because in the past you've had several high seeds had to go on the road and lost because people were granted the site ahead of time. So you had these upsets. So they what change had to do away with it, and Louisville's the only one that can't host. Well, the committee's going to try to send them somewhere they feel they can win. So, you know, I know what Gary's saying, hey, don't count us out even without George Jones. If they send them here, it wouldn't be a cakewalk. So does the committee think that? Who knows what the committee's going to think.
We got a lot of text on the Billy Kenny thing, so let's go to break. Let's come back. We will talk about that. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Molly, we got one. What's that sound?
What sound?
It's like techno. Gotta.
Oh, get a job.
Yeah.
How can you hear that? It's my fear going on in my head.
Honey, grab your laptop. Log on to AggielandHelpWanted.com.
Who?
They have hundreds of local jobs.
Is it getting louder?
It's free and you can upload your resume in minutes.
I can't believe you can hear the inside of my brain.
I can't believe your fear is techno. Weird. I thought it would be more like metal.
I like metal, fear, techno, you know.
Stop the fear. AggielandHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Do you dream of a new career?
When I first decided to come to Vista College, I was very upset with where my career was at the time.
At Vista College, you get the real-world training you need for a career you'll love.
I wanted to do something that I actually enjoyed. I saw Vista College as that opportunity. I didn't see it feasible for me to go back to university, learn something completely new, and take all that time to make a career change.
Classes start every 5 weeks. Take courses day or night, or even online. From business administration and computer networking to medical fields, Vista College has a program that is right for you.
Vista College was perfect for me because I basically left another job, started Vista College 3 weeks later. About 9 months later, I was done, took a week's vacation, and I was back at work that following Monday.
Consumer information may be viewed at vistacollege.edu. Call Vista College now, 979-200-2010. That's 200-2010. Vista College College Station is a branch campus of Vista College, El Paso, Texas. Call 200-2010.
Does your business want to reach seniors in the Brazos Valley? Then the upcoming issue of Brazos Wellness Magazine is the place to advertise. Brazos Wellness is a 48-page local publication filled with local articles that active seniors love to read. Plus, it's direct mailed, distributed at racks all over town, and will be available at the upcoming Senior Expo. To place an ad for your business in the Brazos Wellness Magazine for senior living, call Sam Jones with Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Join us Friday and Saturday, March 6th and 7th for the 2015 Bargain Blitz benefiting the Junior League of Bryan College Station. Bargain Blitz will open with a preview party Friday night where shoppers will enjoy a pizza dinner, DJ, and a first chance at a huge variety of treasures including clothes, toys, tools, books, furniture, appliances, and much, much more. Admission to preview night is $6 for adults and $3 for the kids. Doors will reopen Saturday morning. Admission is just $1 and free for kids 12 and under. See you out at the Expo, our new Bargain Blitz location.
Tuesday, March 3rd is one of my favorite shows of the year, The Taste of Aggieland. Join Chris and me as we broadcast live from the Brazos County Expo Center. Stop by the broadcast area and watch us eat the great food that area restaurants have prepared for the occasion. If for some reason you can't make it, be sure to tune in Tuesday afternoon from 4 to 6, and you can listen to us eat. What could be better than that? Sports talk and the taste of Aggieland. Mmm, good. Only on The Zone.
Nation powered by the Eagle, Bloom and Cessna. We're talking about Billy Kennedy. We got some texts a while ago because I said me and my dad were talking about this weekend. It seems like even though they could be finishing third in the SEC this year, that for some reason people are still a little lukewarm. And I was wanting to know why. I'm not necessarily saying that's wrong, but just, you know, why are fans slow to finally start to get on board? Someone said, this is a good text. 3 years of disappointment and 1 year of above average, 9-11 seed in the NCAAs, doesn't really warrant a change in my feelings towards Kennedy. It's a good point. He's got to do it for more than 1 year.
True.
That's a good point. Someone said, someone else just said that they just don't like basketball, but they said, but that's he's good. Glad the Aggies are doing well. He said they've worked hard over the last few years to turn the program around, and they deserve success. Someone else said, my impression of BK is markedly more positive now, just as changing the coaching staff is an impressive move. Now if his teams could consistently hit free throws.
Moving
on up. The Aggies are now 13th in the SEC in free throw shooting. Florida now behind them. See, we got some more text. Someone said, this season in the incoming class has greatly improved my opinion on Kennedy. However, dismal previous three seasons and contributions from the assistant coaches this season keep me from totally buying in. And that's another thing, too, is you want to see him do it for more than 1 year.
Two good texts because I think you've got to give Billy Kennedy a little bit of respect and also Hyman sticking with him. But the two texters are exactly right. He's got this great class coming in. So if they get that double bye this year, go to the NCAA tournament, then you got to do that again next year. You got to get double bye, go to the NCAA tournament. Win the first round. Go, yeah. You got to keep maintaining or go better. Because we've been through this before under Gillespie and Turgeon. When Turgeon, all he did was the caretaker. He didn't take the next step forward. He didn't get to the...
Yeah, certainly under Gillespie, they were better every year. And then under Turgeon, they kind of waffled.
Caretaker.
They kind of waffled a little bit. And then the first year, I would say the team has been better every year under Kennedy. I don't know if to year two and year three teams would – they were about the same. But the third-year team did get into the CBI, so that's maybe something.
I just
something.
Thought his first two teams were so bad, it didn't matter. I mean, it's just now they on upswing and they're a big upswing this year. From this year – to last season, and I have three of one of the texters. I think the assistant coaches had a lot to do with that, too.
Someone said, look at what all BK has gone through, sickness, transfers, injuries.
I understand.
Come on, folks, not saying he's Calipari or Coach K.
Who's Coach K? No, just kidding.
But he's not doing horrible. I've waffled back and forth on exactly how good of a coach I think Kennedy is, and I've made no – I've never said that I think he's the greatest coach in college basketball, but it's hard to ignore what he's done this year. And to me, it's mostly compared to where they were mid-season. I mean, this is a team that 2 months ago looked like they might not be headed for the postseason.
I mean, they came back from Alabama.
Yeah, they got wiped off the floor at Bama, and you're thinking, and that was a couple weeks after they got beat by Kansas and Baylor, and you're thinking, all right, this is another mediocre team, and again, mediocre might have been a step up from the last couple.
NIT.
The next step, as you mentioned, is beating these upper level teams. That's one thing they haven't done yet. But this year, they did do something they hadn't done previously, and that's that so far, and they really only have one left. And even that, I don't think would be on the caliber. They haven't lost to anybody bad, this season. Right now, their worst loss is Alabama, now that Kansas State got their RPI bump by beating Iowa State.
And Alabama wasn't bad when they lost to them.
Yeah, and I think if they lost at home to Alabama, that's not a loss you want, but it's still not a horrible loss.
But it would be the worst loss.
Yeah, but they've avoided it this year. So don't know, maybe people are starting to come around. It just takes people a while. So, we'll see.
I think he's improved. I think he's improved. I think the system's had something to do with that. And
well, I think he knew. I think he pinpointed his weaknesses, and he's done a lot to shore those up this year. Like you said, it's
we need to do that. You and I need to do that.
Yeah. We'll see if people keep building on as we get towards the tournament. Let's go to the big break. When we come back, let's talk baseball. Let's talk DeAndre Jordan, and let's talk with Justin Seeley. We've got a lot coming on. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles, Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Don't miss our high school baseball and softball games of the week featuring A&M Consolidated, Bryan High, College Station High, and Rudder. For who, when, and more information, visit the play-by-play section at zone1150.com. This is Sports Radio 1150 KZNE and KNDE HD3 College Station Bryan.
Sports Flash.
I'm Jay Berman. We'll start in the NFL.